Go with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And, you know, sometimes we need to ask our questions to ourselves. I find myself doing that. And one of the questions that I asked some time ago is, what is it that Satan is after? What is he always, why does he do what he does? Why does he kill, steal, destroy? Why does he, what does he want? What did he want? What does he want? What is he longing for in the future? And we see some answers to those questions in Isaiah chapter 14 that have everything to do with you. And I'll show you that in just a moment. Look at verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nation. For you have said in your heart, now notice all of the words that talk about being up and high and lifted and seen. Notice now, five eyes, I wills. I will ascend into heaven. Ascend. I want up into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God or the other angels of God. I want to be higher than the other angels. I want attention. I will also sit on the mount. The mount is the highest place of the congregation. On the further sides of the north is up. You know, on the map, north is up. It's all about me. See me. Notice me. Praise me. Worship me. I, this is Lucifer's words, will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He was in heaven as a worshiping angel, and he had this thought. I will, listen to the words, ascend, which means to go up, above heights. I want up. I want higher than anybody in heaven. And then he concludes with this last verse, I will be like the most, notice what he calls him, the most high. He didn't call him the most holy or the most mighty. He said, the thing he noticed about God is he was highest. And he said, I want to be like the most high. Look at what verse 15, God's response. You will be brought down to hell, to the lowest depth of the pit. Those who see you will gaze and consider, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble? You're going to fall so far that one day people are going to laugh at you. That was his word, God's response to Lucifer. What did Satan want? He wanted to be seen. He wanted to be lifted. He wanted to be above. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be exalted high. And sin did not begin with Adam. Sin began with Satan. And that same satanic nature got in us when we were born. Because of Adam and Eve in the garden, they opened up to that same spirit that is all about me. It's what I want. It's what I desire. Look at me. See me. Worship me. I want to be higher and greater and known and famous. All of that stuff can become a spirit. There is a spirit behind it. You know, when you take a group picture, you think you're not like that? You think I'm talking to somebody around you? When you take a group picture, the first person you look at, if you're in that picture, go straight to you. And if you don't like you, you delete the picture. You didn't even look at anybody else in your family. My girls do that all the time. Charisse would do that. She, nope, that one makes me look big. I'm not going to do it or whatever. And she would do, I look great. I would say, I look so good in that pit. Bam, it's gone. And I do the same thing. If my face looks weird or funny, you know, we just think of ourselves. We think of ourselves. But Jesus was the total opposite. That's what's so astonishing. When he came to earth, he's bowing down, washing people's feet. He's humbling himself. He's becoming a servant. He's always praising the Father, talking about the Father. And then he's always saying, there's one coming mightier after me. Notice it's not about me, me, me. There's one coming mightier after me, the Holy Spirit. And he's praising the Father. He's praising the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll not speak of myself, John 16, when I come, John 14, but I will speak of him. So it's like the Holy Spirit saying, no, you're not going to praise me. I'm going to praise you, Jesus. And God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And it's like if you could listen into heaven, they're saying back, no, you're the greatest. No, I'm not the greatest. No, you're the greatest. They're not praising themselves. They're lifting the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the difference between the spirit of Satan and the spirit of Christ. Is one is a humbling, helping spirit, and the other is me, I, what I want, what I desire. And that's what we need to understand about Lucifer, Satan. Notice something else in verse 11, if we back up. He said, your prop is brought down to Sheol. Listen to these words. And the sound, verse 11, the sound of your stringed instruments. So inside of Lucifer were stringed instruments. Ezekiel 28 becomes even more interesting. If you have your Bible, I hope you will turn there. I know it's on the screen, but you need to bring your Bible. And in Ezekiel 28, it's pretty amazing because it gives us further insight into Lucifer. Everybody say he had stringed instruments. I'm going to tell you why that relates to you in just a moment. But in Ezekiel 28, listen to these words. He said in verse 12, even though he's addressing a king of Tyre, many times in the scripture, God will speak to the spirit that is behind the person. Just like he did to Peter one time, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, he said that to Simon Peter, but he was addressing the spirit. That's exactly what he's doing in this text. He said, son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, listen to this. This is describing Satan's physical features. You were the seal of perfection. You are full of wisdom and beauty and perfect in beauty. Listen to that. We think Satan is some gross, horrible looking figure. Perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. You were in Eden, the garden of God. There were only four people in the garden. God, the Holy God, Adam, Eve, and the serpent. And so Satan. And so that's why he says you were in. The king of Tyre wasn't in Eden, but Satan was. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald, gold. The workmanship, listen, of your timbrels and pipes were prepared in you the day you were created. Not only did he have string instruments, but he had timbrels, which comes from the word tambourine or percussion instruments, drums. And he said the timbrels and the pipes or the wind instruments. A pipe is any instrument that wind has to go through to produce the sound. I just named the three categories that any musical and every musical instrument known to man fits in one of those three categories. It's either a stringed instrument, a guitar, a piano is a stringed instrument, or a timbrel, a percussion instrument, a drum, or it is a pipe or a wind instrument, saxophone, trumpet, all of these type instruments. It requires wind to blow through them. Lucifer had all of these attributes in him. He was heaven's worship angel. Gabriel ruled the word. It was Gabriel who would announce the word of God to Mary, to different people. He would come to them and give them the word of God. And Michael ruled prayer. When you read prayers being answered many times, Daniel chapter 10 on the 21-day fast, it was Michael who came and fought through and brought the answer to prayer that Daniel had prayed and fasted for 21 days. So these arch chief angels, Gabriel over the word, Michael ruling over prayer, but Lucifer ruled over worship in heaven. He had the musical instruments. The beautiful stones would reflect the light. As the light of God's glory would hit those stones, they would radiate in technicolor and shoot forth. And he would explode as the musical instruments, the strings, the tambourines, the drums, the wind instruments, the pipe instruments would begin to glorify God. Just as Gabriel had the word and Michael had the prayer and Lucifer had the worship. They are the components of a worship service. What do you have in a worship service? You have the word, you have worship, and then you have prayer. And so that worship that Lucifer brought to heaven was phenomenal. He goes on to say in verse 14, you were the anointed cherub. A cherub is a singing angel. You were the anointed. You had an anointing to sing, which covers. I established you in the holy mountain of God. Listen to this. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Lucifer would walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones of heaven that were before the throne of God. And he would explode in worship. He would explode in praise unto God. And he goes on to say, you were perfect, verse 15, in all of your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. And in that moment, that's when he said, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will get 1/3 of the angels to turn and worship me. And there was this high treason that took place in heaven. When we talk about these instruments, please understand you have all three created in you. You have pipe instruments. You have pipes because anything that produces sound, it's wind going over. You have something called a voice box, and it's when you sing or when you talk, it's the wind going, or the air, the breath going over your voice box that produces that noise. Not only that, but you have stringed instruments. Your strings are your vocal cords. They're called vocal cords because they're like strings in your throat. And when you praise God, you play the strings in your throat. And you have a percussion drum set built inside of you. You don't believe me, but that I just did percussion. That's rhythm. That's a beat. And so Lucifer was cast out of heaven, and you now have all the attributes he had. That's why praise is so important. Worship is so important. It's a big deal. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a charismatic thing. It's not a Baptist thing or a Methodist thing or a Presbyterian thing. It's a Bible thing. And it's extremely important that you understand it. What did Satan want? It's obvious what he wanted. He wanted to be up. He wanted to be high. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted people to, and beings and creation to glorify him. That's what he wanted. Then you move into the New Testament. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has fasted for 40 days. And Satan comes to Jesus on the 40th day of the fast. And he says, bow down. Notice the words in Matthew chapter 4. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world. Notice that when he said, bow down and worship me, that worship is not worship until you express that worship. That's why he said, bow down. I want you to express worship to me, is what Lucifer was saying. He was saying to Jesus, you don't worship until you express that worship. You can say, I'm going to worship, but you can sit through a whole service and never worship God. Worship is when you express that worship with the lifting up of the hands, with the clapping, with the rejoicing, with the singing, with the praising, with the praise phrases, with the glory to God. That's what worship is. Worship is express worship. We think, and we've almost tried to teach a generation, and we're not here at Free Chapel, but a lot of places you go, they think worship is for the women. I'll talk to the men just a minute. They think that worship is for the women and kind of the other guys that are a little weird. But if you're a real man, you don't worship, and that's why your kids don't worship. Worship is not for women only. You say, well, I'm just not me. That's just not me. I just don't get excited like that. But if you can get excited, and I love ball and I love all that, but if you can get excited about a dead pig skin being carried across a chalk line, and you come unglued. And little Junior sitting there in church, and he sees Popsicle, who never raises his hands or praises the Lord, and you're going to have a teen sickle that's going to sit right there beside you. And the truth is, I'm not trying to be mean or ugly, but we need to get this revelation. This is a big deal. This is not something for some people somewhere. This is for you. And one of the greatest things you can do to break the power of Satan off of your life and off of your family and ensure that your children are past the heritage of faith, it happens in worship services just like this. If you get free, they get free. If you worship, they worship. If you lift hands, they lift hands. They may not do it at first. They may come in and roll their eyes sometimes, but if I've raised five of these youngins, I know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to tell you what will happen. It'll just rub off on them. It's heritage. It's faith. It's going back generations. You're passing the faith on, and don't ever be ashamed to praise the Lord. Let's take a praise break. Everybody in this room, give our God some. Use your stringed instruments. Use your percussion instrument. Use your wind instrument. Hallelujah! Lord, I bless you. I'll never be ashamed to lift my voice. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how educated you are. You better learn that it's not I. It's Him. He is King. He is Lord. He is worthy of our worship and our praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Worship has to be expressed with a praise phrase. How do you express it? Hallelujah. That's a praise phrase. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God is good. Oh, I love you, Jesus. What am I doing? I'm using my stringed instruments. I'm using my percussion. I'm using everything that I've got. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Satan does not want you to express your praise to God. He wants you teenagers to be cool and sit back, and you're too cool for school, you're too cool for worship, you're too cool for this. You're nothing without the Holy Spirit. You're nothing without the touch of God. You're nothing. What are you talking about? I'm going to tell you something. You just fall in love with Jesus, and you don't have to come to church and make goo-goo eyes trying to get a date. You fall in love with Jesus, and everything you need is in God's house. Everything you need, let me go one step further, is in God's presence. I know what I'm preaching. His hand will come on your life if you will be an unashamed worshiper. Hallelujah. God, don't let us raise up a generation of little mousy Christians. Let us raise up a generation that has the high praises of God in their mouth. It's unashamed. Let's just take another praise break. This is for the teenagers, the college students, the moms, the dads, the businessmen. Give Jesus a great cheer today. He's worthy of the praise. Worthy of the honor. He gave you those hands. He gave you that voice. He gave you those strings and your vocal cords to praise His name. It breaks chains. It opens prison doors. It causes the fog of depression to evaporate when you begin to praise the Lord.
fear backs up. Demons back up when you begin to praise the name of Jesus. And Satan looks with envy. He says, I used to do that. I used to do that. When Satan was cast out of heaven, he landed on this planet called Earth. Now Ephesians 2 said he is the prince, the power of the air. The very climate and atmosphere is charged with his spirit and his culture and his atmosphere. The world was filled with chaos and void and dark. God comes down one day and says, trees, please. And they pop up out of nowhere. Divides the water from the land, oceans and lakes. Says, let there be, and the spittle from his mouth creates the stars and the moon. Galaxies they're still discovering. And he creates the beautiful animals. And I could almost see in my mind Lucifer following him around. Begins to taunt him, saying, who's going to worship you now? I'm not going to worship you anymore. Who's going to worship you now? I could almost see God reach down and take a handful of mud and look at Lucifer in the eye and say, if you won't worship me, let me show you how important you are. I can replace you with dirt. And he put his mouth on that dirt and he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of a dirt man named Adam. And we were created by the very image and life of God. And God not only said, will I replace you with dirt, and these dirt people will be one day to redeem these dirt people. I didn't lift a finger to redeem you when you fell, Lucifer. But if this dirt falls to the sin, I'm going to become dirt. I'm going to come down and get in a body of dirt, and I'll shed my blood to forgive them and cleanse them, and they'll praise me like you never praised me. Oh, somebody praise him for the blood. Somebody praise him that you... Oh, God, I feel your presence in this room. Just worship him. This is what torments the devil. When we, the redeemed, lift our voice. Because we've been washed in the blood. And then there's coming a day. He wants something in the future. That's what this whole thing about the end times and the Antichrist and stuff that we don't hear a lot of preaching about anymore, that I've got to do a better job of informing you on. But when you see Syria and you see Russia and you see China and you see Jerusalem as a cup trembling and you see our nation on the brink of all kinds of things, from nerve gas to nuclear possibilities in the hands of crazy terrorists. It's not by Iran. Those four are the exact four that are prophesied over and over in Scripture that will come in alignment with one another. It's over. It's in the Bible over and over and over again. Iran, Russia. It names, out of all the nations it could have named, it said the end time will be centered around these four nations, Iran, Russia, it names them, Syria, China, Jerusalem. What is that all about? You have to see in the book of Revelation, and I want you to turn there if you have a Bible. What he wants in the future is pretty amazing. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. When he finally, the church is going to be raptured just before the Antichrist reveals himself. The trumpet is going to sound. The church is going to be raptured. The Antichrist will quickly take over. 3.5 years of incredible peace and prosperity. And then comes the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years. But then in verse 4, it says that he will finally get what he wanted. This is all the inhabitants of the earth. So they worship the dragon. See, John saw this in a vision, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, listen to these defiant words, who is like the beast? Oh, this is music to Lucifer's ears. Who is able to make war with him. They'll worship and sing. Who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? One day they're going to sing it just a little bit too loud, and it's going to get God's attention. And God's going to say, what are they saying down there? And I believe Gabriel and Michael are going to have a little edge to them and say, they said. See, they've been waiting on this fight for 2,000, 5,000, 6,000, who knows how long. I can see Michael pull his sword out and say, they said, who can make war with the beast? God says, get my horse. And this is where the Bible picks up the story. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. You want to know who can make war? I'll make war with you, God says. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, turn to somebody and say, I'm going to be riding with him. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. He's in a bloody garment, but we're white and clean because he took our payment. He took our shame. He took our torture. He took our crucifixion. The armies of heaven are clothed, following him on white horse. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule with the iron of the rod of iron. And he himself will tread the wine press in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and his thigh a name written. Read it with me out loud. King of kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to close with chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. I love this line. And shut him up. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's harassed you and talked to you and whined in your ear and accused you. But one day an angel is going to shut him up. Come on, let's praise our God. Satan covered with precious stones. The same stones that are described in the book of Revelation being the 12 foundations of the holy city. John said, I saw a holy city coming down out of heaven. I don't know if we understand sometimes the times that we're living in, how near we are to the fulfillment. Signs of the times are all around us. And if ever we needed to be full of the Holy Ghost, if ever we needed to be worshiping, if ever we needed our children, listen to this, filled with the fear of God. We have lost the fear of God in this generation. But He is holy. He is mighty. He's not a plaything. He's not your butler and he's not your buddy. He is God Almighty, King of kings, Lord of lords, and he's worthy. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your percussion just going crazy on a drum solo right now. He's worthy of your stringed instruments saying his praise. He's worthy of your pipes and the wind and the breath that you have given glory and honor to him. Because this is what I want to say in closing. And if you run for the door now after a service like this, there's something wrong with you spiritually, unless you have an emergency. That's all I can say. Because we're going to sing and we're going to worship and we're going to stand right here and do what I preached we're supposed to do. But here's what I talk about what I'm talking about today in the book, because I am convinced the way you break the spirit of Python, Acts 16, was what came against Paul and Silas. They were thrown in prison. But at midnight, they sang praises unto God. And as they sang praises unto God, the Bible said every chain fell off and every prison door opened. And every prisoner was set free. The way you break the powers that are trying to squeeze the life out of you and your family and your marriage, and maybe through depression, even suicide and weariness, is you put on the garment of praise and you begin to praise God with revelation that Satan hates every time you lift your hands, every time you lift your voice, every time you praise God in the midnight hour. It breaks chains, it opens doors. It releases the armies of heaven on your behalf. Get up on your feet. Let's praise Him just a minute. Don't let a worship leader, don't let a praise singer, don't let somebody on your left or your right lift up your voice and praise Him just a moment.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.